I'm wrapping my head around it. I'll figure it out probably in like week 12.
Yeah, it takes like 2 weeks to get the hang of it. And you really haven't lost anything in 2 weeks.
Knowing this group.
Also, there's a lot of first-time players.
Right.
And Eric's always kind of like a first-time player.
Has he done this before with you guys?
Yeah. I've never played in a league with him. Okay. This is the first time anybody has played in this league together.
Okay. I think. Who are the other two? Because I noticed there were
two. My dad and my brother.
No, I saw your dad and Mike were listed, but there are still two spots that don't have names next to them.
Oh, 9 and 10?
Yeah.
Oh, I just made an 8-man league because I didn't have anybody else.
Oh, so it is an 8-man league.
Yeah, I originally put it as a 10-man league, but then I couldn't find 10 people. Okay. So I just knocked it back to an 8-man league. But then, as long as it's an even number, it doesn't matter.
Will it adjust that then, I guess?
Yeah, it's just a setting I've got. Okay. It's just like drop down.
That means I need to change my cheat sheet.
Do you really have an 8-man cheat sheet?
I have a 10-man cheat sheet because that's what it said. We had a 10-man league.
The only difference is that you'll get better players.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the I think work switched from a 10-man to an 8-man.
Overall, we'll have a better.
Yeah, we'll have a higher.
Everybody will.
On average, we'll have a higher point games.
Yeah.
Because we moved from 8 to 10, and like the average game was like 150 points, and then it moved drunk and dropped 100 points. And I'm like, what happened?
Wow.
Why did I get so much worse at this?
Everybody shifts down. The whole average drops.
Yeah, it's different when there's not enough players to go around.
Mm-hmm.
So we're actually kind of playing on easy mode.
Yeah, because like if you had a 12-man... or
12-man is
12-man,
too...
12-man would be
is
stupid.
Too much.
10-man, you only have a couple of teams left over for
leagues,
defense. Even, you know, for defenses, you only have a couple of teams left over.
Yeah.
12-man, you would have like what? Like four?
Oh, Rafi, in one of the games, Rafi, or one of the episodes, Rafi's like, yeah, I played a 12-man domination league.
Yeah,
I said even that. Work. It's too few players. Like, you've got a ringer, and then you're just trying to fill out the rest of your team with people who are playing.
Yeah, you just hope you're one of the guys that gets one of those really high point-scoring quarterbacks, because otherwise you're just fucked.
Yeah.
I get it. This is disturbing me. The battery life is not... good. I might have to
plug it in.
I don't want to plug it in though, because I heard that there's issues with plugging it in.
Like butt stuff?
Like feedback.
So I can pull out my phone and put it next to it if you want.
Yeah, we can do that. Make sure it's on data and then just play
double
YouTube.
Data.
One on each side and play YouTube videos on both of them.
We'll put on
Ice Bucket Challenge.
We'll put it on the Edge Network too.
There you go. Or just put the 10-hour they're taking the hypothesizing.
Stop it. Oh, damn it, Tony.
I did it. You're in. You
not
lost.
Again.
You'll be watching it tomorrow.
What did you say?
Stop it. It's weird because I thought this mug was Superman, but it's not.
It's not.
Like, that actually would be a good poster for Superman.
Yeah. There was... Somebody did some analysis of movie posters, and they showed how this movie poster, for like 2 years, this theme was on like 10 or 12 different.
Yeah.
The Batman, Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
That was
the bat symbol in the rubble.
I've heard rumors that in the Batman Superman movie, that one of the things that they are going to do is have Superman called to the floor about the death and destruction in Metropolis.
I feel like that's just fan service.
I feel like they need to do that though.
It's an easy end
to bring Batman into the story though. You have a grizzled Batman coming in and saying, "Look, you fucked up."
I don't think I can buy what's his face as grizzled.
Affleck?
Yeah, I can't buy him as grizzled anything.
I can. I can see it.
I'm grizzled under the weight of my own success.
Have you seen him in the cowl? He looks good. He looks good. He doesn't need the chin implants that Keaton had.
I can't even accept that you just. I wouldn't choose to believe that's not a real thing.
In Batman 89, they brought the cowl out to here so that they could basically form a chin that he didn't have.
Yes.
So that Batman would have a square jaw. because Keaton doesn't have a square jaw.
He's very rounded.
Yeah. And they did that. Middle.
Yeah.
And then two movies later, we had bat nipples.
Yes, bat nipples. I hate nerds.
And to be fair, they probably hate you too.
They do.
Because you ate all the street sausage.
I ate all the street sausage. It's such a cathartic experience.
Cathartic?
Yeah, it's so... Like, you come back, you feel refreshed.
In a self-loathing sort of way.
Effervescent.
Effervescent, okay. All sparkly.
Yeah.
You know what I need to do? I need to grab that picture of you from the Hangout where you're shoving the sausage in your mouth and make that the logo for Sausage Fest.
That's a good picture. That was before I dropped it on the ground.
And then spilled soda all over myself.
So many stories from Gen Con.
Yeah, I know. You can't let me out of your sight. It's terrible.
Was he bad?
He
misbehaved?
He wasn't the worst of people.
Oh, okay. No. He was tame by comparison.
Lou.
Got us a VIP room.
I think Lou was... might have been the worst.
Lou was the worst.
Lou's probably wearing a person shirt now.
Yeah, he's got a person suit.
Yeah. I wasn't there. Melina and Ashton met that guy.
Oh, I met him. He bought me some drinks.
That's what I heard.
Then I left. Then I abandoned Melina and Ashton.
Oh.
Ashton got into a fight with some guy at a Steak and Shake.
That was weird, too.
Were you there?
I wasn't there, but I heard the story enough times to actually get an idea of what the true story probably was.
Like, it started kind of sexist, then turned racist, and was moving into physical.
Yeah. Wow.
This is a Steak great story.
Hot bit of... Oh, dear, we would have had another incident.
It was like Indian on black racism.
Yeah. Wow. There was that.
Indian on black.
There was the guy that... allegedly died in the hotel.
Yeah, I don't think he actually died.
You'd have thought we would have heard more.
He's mostly dead.
Sarah is, I feel, would know if he had died.
I think she would have followed up with us.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that guy did not die.
Yeah.
But that was the rumor.
That was the rumor, yeah. There was a rumor that on Thursday night? Wednesday? No, it was Wednesday night.
It wasn't Wednesday.
It was Wednesday night. Yeah, because we heard about it the next morning. So it was on Wednesday night, I guess, some guy was coming up the escalator. And, like, just went down.
Whoa.
And the way Ashton describes it was that he was covered in puke and shit and...
blood.
And was face down. And they're like, oh, look at that drunk asshole. And then they found out later that somebody said that the guy died, that he had a massive heart attack.
Ooh.
And died. So then they felt bad about that. Which, I don't know why you'd feel bad, because you didn't do it.
If you didn't feel bad before you had the heart attack,
too soon, rather than render aid.
Yeah.
If the heart attack is what makes you feel bad, you're a terrible person.
Right. Because you were made
rather than go over and see if he was still breathing.
Yeah, but then I don't know. Later, I heard like when the paramedics came and picked him up and took him away, that he was like talking with them and was fine.
Yeah. Okay. So
it's something hard to say. Had a reaction or a low blood pressure incident or something.
Or he could have been drunk. I mean,
well, given yes, but it's also on a Thursday. That's a little early.
Well,
so.
Wednesday is the first night of the con, and the hotel we were staying at has free happy hour for 2 hours.
Well,
yeah.
Well, it was Thursday next day, so you can't always rule out that someone in their 20s and 30s passes out. It's usually a heart attack.
Well, he was. Except it's apparently this dude was huge and old.
I would be more concerned to be heart attack.
Yeah. Hey, this is Tony.
This is Daryl.
This is David.
We are the Backseat Producers.
Oh, yeah.
It's a sausage fest.
It is a sausage fest.
Speaking of which, Sausage Fest is on again this year at Archon.
Coming up soon.
October 4th is the Saturday. That's the day we will actually be throwing the party. The website is live for donations, sausagefeststl.com. There are all the perks we had from last year, and this year we have added a bunch of new things, but it's all in one category. If you listened a month or two ago, Jolie brought us a big box of posters that we talked about.
Very good posters, too.
And they're awesome.
Yeah, these are not cheap posters. These are the real quote unquote lobby cards.
Yeah, this
the high quality stuff.
The what you see in the light boxes out in front of a theater or in the lobby. Mm-hmm. That's these are those posters. They're high quality, two sided, very nice.
Printed on a very heavy cardstock.
Yeah, yeah. And fair warning, these are used posters. They were hanging up in the lobby of a theater, so some of them have
they
some
are
scuffs.
Experienced posters.
They are. They are seasoned.
They've battle seen, tested.
They've leveled up.
They've seen things.
They've dinged a couple of times. They've got many dings.
Yeah.
They've seen things you people would not believe.
That Spider-Man thing over there is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
It's very large.
There was another one of those that was Green Hornet.
Mm. Oh.
That actually got pitched because we couldn't figure out what to do with it. Mm. Like, we were trying to get, see if Archon's charity wanted it, but they never contacted me back. Because I was willing to hold on to it for them. And Jolie just didn't want to move it across country. No. Which, considering the size of that, yeah, it's, I understand. But yeah, so we've got like 50 plus posters listed on the website that you can choose from. That number has dwindled some because there have been some that are already have already been chosen. A really nice Inception poster, a really good Hobbit poster, a Watchmen poster, and Don John. Mm-hmm. So,
on one hand, I'm not jealous that Jolie moved to Seattle because it's Seattle.
Right.
And she had to move across the country. But on the other hand, can you imagine how much, how little crap she has now?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because nothing like a move to lighten the burn.
Like some soul-cleansing purge.
Yeah, and like, from the look of the picture she was posting, I think she was just like, there was just one vehicle.
Yeah,
there
the truck, stuff right?
In a truck, like a rental truck. So it everything in one truck. So that's good.
That's also kind of like a cool solo journey.
Like I think she said her dad was with her.
Oh, but. Well, that ruins everything.
Well,
not really. How are you? In my mind, I had painted this like this sojourn, like this spiritual quest across like 18 states where she was just stopping.
She's stopping and smoking peyote.
Yeah,
and
traveling and doing the speed limit
down all the blue highways.
Meeting random naked Indians.
Yeah, just, I mean, like just do like doing the speed limit because you.
I should say
if you have a destination,
Native
but
Americans.
Why hurry? Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. You're going to be there for a long time. There's no rush.
Yeah, you're just moving there. It's not a vacation.
Yeah, I never travel anywhere where I don't like need to be there sooner rather than later.
Right.
Well, now that you're filling in the details, I don't want any more details. In my mind, this was a cool story. It's becoming like reality is slowly wearing it down.
Yeah, yeah. So,
but unlike that, Sausage Fest.
Sausage Fest.
The reality is always better than the story.
Oh my god! It's gonna be big. There's a lot of people coming to town.
It's gonna be a big sausage.
There's gonna be many big sausages. And it's gonna be a great time. If you're in St. Louis, October 3rd through 5th is Archon. October 4th is Sausage Fest.
Come out, we'll rub meat together.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And give us money now so we'll have tons of meat for you to rub on
mm-hmm.
and eat.
And love on.
And drink.
Mm-hmm.
Not drinking the meat, but we'll have
plenty to
drink.
You know what you need to do? You need to get those little stickers. You know, like the badge stickers, like panelists and all those other things?
Yeah, Sausage Fest.
I know you can get the sauce, but like for the pre-donors.
Yeah.
So you can get like the level of donor on there.
Could nice.
Like a collector sticker.
Yeah, we can do that. We'll figure something out.
Little wieners.
We need more people to donate so they can do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So donate.
Please. Please. It goes for a good cause.
All right.
Yeah. Fuck cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Anything else going on? Meg is doing the Pack the Pack Kickstarter. It's already kicked, so if you want the game, it's available. You can jump in on the Kickstarter. You're guaranteed to get the game at a price lower than it will be retail. And if it gets like $2,000 more, we get the game free for the print version of the game for all donors.
Really?
Yeah, that she just announced that like a day or two ago. That was one of the first stretch goals. So if it hits, it's just over $6,000 now. If it hits $8,000, that's the first stretch goal. So depending on when they release that, we might actually be able to play it at Archon. You could print our copy and play it at
Archon. Here's the important thing, Tony. Now that it's funded, I want to get my Chibi print.
That's true. Yeah, you're going
to... I was really disappointed.
You kicked up for that.
Yeah, I did.
I pulled back. Holden already is hiring Chibi to commission some artwork for him.
Whoa, patron of the arts.
Yeah.
It was weird talking to Chibi this year.
Because he was talking about drinking?
No, it wasn't nothing to do with, like, the drinking. It was, like the real, like, the adult, like, hey, I'm working on this project at work, and here are all my project-related problems. Yeah. And I'm like, whoa, you're like an adult with a real job and stuff.
I remember when you geeked out on Godzilla movies and were drawing and doing your homework listening to a... in college.
Yeah.
Because that happened. So. Yeah.
But goddamn, I love Chibi so much. That guy's so awesome.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. All right. So next week, we're going to do Awakenings for the Recently Dead Guy podcast, Robin Williams. And this week, we are talking about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yay.
What'd you think, Daryl?
I am Groot.
Clearly.
I loved it. Me and girlfriend went to see it, and we were just blown away by it.
Banging like rabbits watching the movie. Wow. Mm-hmm. It's appropriate.
It was.
Jackson Pollock painting. Mm-hmm. This movie is the best of the Marvel movies, hands down.
It's definitely the most fun and accessible. Best, I don't know if I can say best. I want to see it one more time.
How many times have you seen it?
Once.
I mean, there's a lot of things in here I missed. Yeah. I know.
It's pretty good, too. It's good. It's damn good.
Well, this was
it's like, a lot of fun.
If you're going to pay full price for a movie, this was the one to pay full price for. You won't be disappointed.
The nice thing also about this movie is it is so accessible. They knew that you didn't have to have any of the Marvel movie bullshit. You needed
no canon none of it. None of the backstory in canon
that
burdens them all.
There was one character that showed up that has been in anything else,
mm-hmm.
and you saw a profile of that character, and he didn't matter before.
Arguably, too.
Thanos.
But
who? Well, the Collector.
No, well, the Thanos' dude.
Ronan?
No, not Ronan. The Alexis Denisov plays him. He's got like an attendant dude there.
Oh, that guy, yeah.
Yeah, that guy. Oh. He's actually got a name.
Right, yeah. But he's not.
No, he's
again,
not.
Again, he's not anybody.
No, he's not.
You're also talking about the people that you saw, that except for that guy, Thanos and the Collector only appeared in post...
Avengers, wasn't it?
No, they only appeared in post-credit scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Thanos was post-credits, and the Collector was post-credits.
Right, yeah.
So they weren't in the actual movie.
Yeah, I'm on board with it.
So
Thanos is Josh Brolin.
I know.
That was fun.
That's weird.
It is weird, but I can dig it.
Yeah. You know what this movie wasn't?
You know what's weird?
Thor.
You know what's weird? Ronan the Accuser was Lee Pace.
Mm-hmm. I don't find that weird at all. In fact, I feel really bad that guy is now that guy.
What do you mean?
Because he's also the same character in The Hobbit 2.
Oh, yeah.
He's like that crazy, creepy villain dude.
Yeah.
Which is a bummer, because Lee Pace is really awesome.
Hey, he's branching out. He's making money.
He's making money. He is making money.
He's in a TV show right now, though, too.
What?
I don't remember which
one. Don't tell Melina that.
I'm going to.
She started drooling at home, and she didn't even know why. What is happening?
Somebody's talking about Lee Pace or Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah. There's a guy at work who she can't remember the name of that she calls Timothy Oliphant.
Nice.
So let's talk about the many things we all love about this movie. Should we just start at the top of the list?
Yeah.
Because Rocket is goddamn at the top of the list.
Yes,
him. Rocket's Ryan. A great character, and there was so much little stuff they shoved in there. Like you know that character has a really cool backstory that they didn't bother to tell you any of.
Mm-hmm. They telegraph it all over the place.
Perfect. Don't.
Yep.
Don't. I don't want to know. Don't tell me a story. Just let me keep watching what...
You know what I appreciate? In fact, I'm going to move Rocket down to number 2. And my favorite things about this movie, do you know what my number one favorite thing about this movie is? all the shit they didn't have to tell me. Like, Groot and Rocket, I figured there was going to be some shitty flashback, or some, you know, bulldozed in bullshit about how they met. Nope.
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 They're
buddies. They work together. Yeah.
They moved. They started working together a couple of years ago. Okay.
Okay.
Moving on. And like, even for the first time you see when they're just standing around looking at people, perfect. All right, yeah. Fine. Moving on.
Fun thing about Groot is he never telegraphs anything he's going to do. I mean, everything he does is a total surprise. You just think he's a big tree guy with a limited vocabulary. No, he can do a lot of weird shit. And
Groot,
it's
Groot's a puppy.
Oh, he's...
Groot is Rocket's puppy. And it's awesome. And he's a puppy that can do some serious damage when he wants to.
Yes.
That scene when he spears all those guys, it's just ridiculous. For a ridiculously long time, he's just slamming them around. The look he has on his face when he turns around.
He's so happy.
He's just like, what? Good guys, right?
Yeah. What? You didn't think I had it in me?
So happy.
Yep.
So... Now, when I say that all the shit that they didn't tell me, like, this movie is super heavy on exposition. But none of it feels really awkward.
There's a lot of exposition because these characters don't know each other.
Yeah, and there's, like,
They absolutely don't know each other. They're being shoved together, and so they have to work together and learn about each other, so they have to tell each other about each other so that they know what's going on.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, like, even the first 10 minutes of the movie. Earth, this other planet, this other planet, this other planet, this other planet. Like, you were on 5 different planets in the span of maybe 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom. It's like, whoa.
The beginning of that movie was really quick. And it was like, I was, in the first 15 minutes or so, I was like, man, are they ever going to slow down and actually tell us a story? Or are they just going to jump around? Because they did a lot.
Well, that's intentional.
It was great, though.
Like, so you grab the audience by the throat and you just drag them into this world and you don't give them a chance to think about things too much. It's just a great opening, just a great way to open the movie.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give you 10 seconds to think about this thing. Just hold on for the ride and when we get to the end, you'll understand.
I actually kind of feel like when you say, I'm not going to give you time to think about it, it's like the implication there is that they know that it falls apart if you think about it, but I feel like they just don't give a shit. Well, like, there are multiple points in the story where it's like, this is too ridiculous to be plausible. Yeah, we don't care.
Yeah,
we just don't care.
Right. It's awesome. A ride.
We don't care.
This is a roller coaster ride. Hang on.
Hey,
we've chosen...
Hey, that raccoon's got a machine gun. Yeah. Shut up.
Yeah, we've chosen awesome over reasonable. Deal with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm on board with that.
It's...
Gotta remember, this is a comic book movie. It doesn't have to make a whole lot of technical sense. It just has to be half plausible. I mean, it's a Marvel movie. Go with it.
As long as the characters ring true.
Here's the thing.
Well, let's put this way. This is a very character-driven movie.
This is why I think this is the best of the Marvel movies. Because all the other Marvel movies are like, yeah, we're a real movie. This movie's like, yeah, we're not a real movie. We
throw that out the window first day.
We're being ridiculous and awesome. And the other movies are like, we kind of dip into ridiculous and awesome, but we're actually a real movie when it comes down to it. Oh, come on.
Yes, we are not a comic... We're a graphic novel movie, not a comic movie.
I mean, I'm not saying that the other Marvel movies think that they're high art, but there's definitely more of a serious tone.
The problem is the Marvel movies like that tend to take way too serious themselves too seriously are the ones that usually have the weakest times.
Well, I mean, Thor.
Another problem with the Marvel movies is that they're required to be episodic.
Mm-hmm.
This story requires that you have previous knowledge of other movies.
Right.
With the exception of Iron Man?
The first one?
Which is all just Iron Man backstory.
I feel like the first tier of them could have been done without... Like Iron Man, Thor, Captain America.
That's it.
Yeah, but those movies Hulk. Yeah, but
the Hulk was actually a sequel to a movie that wasn't a Marvel movie. Which is weird, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Hulk
you can almost write out.
Yeah, you
can. The Hulk is almost like a prelude. It's like they gave you Fury in that one. And so it was like there's a bigger picture here. But realistically, the Hulk hasn't played I guess because the tenuous link between those is the Hulk and then Avengers.
Yeah.
And there's really nothing between those two.
There's not much there. But like the second tier movies, like Winter Soldier burned all of the world down that was established in every one of the Marvel movies up to that point.
They needed something. Like needed something like that, though.
Yeah, they did.
Let's clear up some of this grandiose continuity that we're going to have to deal with. Hey, you know what? That big bad agency that's monitoring everyone.
Yep.
Good. Let's clear the slate there. Go tell that story. Nice. Go tell that story over in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and just leave it there.
Yep.
And let's get on to making crazy superhero movies. And Guardians of the Galaxy was good.
It was good.
So being one of the more the more obscure franchises, it doesn't have the preponderance of its own backstory and legions of fans that would whine and cry terribly if they changed anything.
What I'm hearing
canon.
Is that nerds ruined other movies. That's what I'm hearing.
Well, nerds have a habit of being way too attached to their franchise.
You know what? We can replay the Hobbit rant. Mm-hmm. Daryl's Hobbit rants. Yeah. If we need mm-hmm. a refresher and why that's a bad idea. But there were changes from what were in the comic books.
Mm-hmm.
But
which series?
So that's few just people. So few people are going to know what they are. Like, mm-hmm. I read the Guardians of the Galaxy, the first iteration of it. Well, I think it was probably actually the second iteration of it in like the 90s, and they were set like 1,000 years in the future. So none of this was what was in that. The only character that I remember being in that series that ended up in the movie was Yondu,
mm-hmm.
which. Michael Rooker as Yondu was amazing.
Yeah, that guy's good in pretty much everything he does.
But he was Yondu in name, and he had blue skin. But that was where the differences.
And he had
that's,
an arrow.
That's where the sameness ended, because like that metal mohawk thing that he had on his head
was actually a mohawk.
It's actually a fin. It's actually a huge red fin coming out of the top of his head. So it was like I almost expected him, like during that big final fight, for that to just like
pop
appear.
Out.
But it was like, because I'm waiting for it, and it didn't happen. It was like, all right, save it for me, give it to me later. You know,
Michael Rooker.
Rooker.
His
was
whole
so
his
good.
Whole Clint Eastwood standoff scene there was just amazing. I mean,
well,
and it's almost down to the fact that he was doing the whistle too.
Right, and it, if memory serves, in the comic book. I don't know that he can control. He might
no,
have been
he did
able
not.
To
he was
control
a regular
it,
archer.
But he was just an archer. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of interesting.
Space archer.
Yeah, regular archer.
Exactly.
Well, no doubt they did some changes. They did a lot of rearranging of characters and roles.
Yeah, they elected to go with awesome.
It needed it.
What they did was they continued along with the trend of, we're not going to use the character as they were in the comic book. We're going to make them make sense for the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel's done that a couple times, and it's pissed people off, but they keep doing it. So.
Yeah, well, they've been very successful at it.
It's worked really well for them. And when in Iron Man 3 with Ben Kingsley as the Mandarin, that was amazing.
That was pretty
good. I loved that.
The rest of the movie was not great, but that part was fantastic.
That was really good. So,
I mean, Chris Pratt as Star-Lord was perfect.
Perfectly cast.
Flawlessly cast.
Yeah.
That guy, from the moment he gets out of the ship and he's just like dancing around, it's like, ugh, this is exactly what I need.
He pulls out his little Sony Walkman and clicks on the tunes and then starts.
What are you doing? Dance off.
Dance off. Gamora! I'm taking it back.
Shit was so good. It was so good.
It's a distraction.
That was so good. Set yourself, man. We're the Guardians of the Galaxy, bitch. Oh.
Well, it's one thing. I did a little research back on James Gunn. Found out he came out of the Troma studios.
We talked about that on Sunday.
Luke.
Luke kept insisting that he directed Romeo and Juliet. We had to look it up. He wrote it. He wrote,
but he's like the Roger Corman School of film. He went through the Troma Studio Film Court of film, which is about in the same category of like the Schlockmasters but you cut your teeth on a really creepy film. Mm-hmm. In fact, he's even got a book out. It says everything I learned about filmmaking from Romeo and Juliet, which he wrote in 98.
So one thing that I thought was really interesting when they picked him to direct, mm-hmm. he had only directed two other movies.
Right.
Period. And we've reviewed one of them. It was Super. Mm-hmm. And the other one was Slither. So.
But he's Super pretty.
Was
but he's,
good.
He's,
Super was good.
Yeah. He's I've pretty multi talented so really guy. He's done the writing, directing, producing, and acting. Mm-hmm. So I'm surprised too. I mean, he's pretty multi talented. And when he wrote this thing, he did a bang up job. Well, being the producer and the writer gives you a lot of freedom because the director is usually the one who does the final screenplay anyway.
So
he doesn't have to argue with anybody else.
Are you familiar with the controversy over the writing? So he's one of two listed writers,
right,
on this movie, mm-hmm. because there was another writer, a female writer, who wrote the first draft of it, mm-hmm. basically got the movie greenlit based on the first draft. Then they brought him in, and he rewrote it, added comedy, changed mm-hmm. quite a bit of it, and that's the movie that we saw.
Right, but that's the shooting script.
There's a lot of controversy over, I guess he has said, like, this is my movie. It's not her movie. It's my movie. I wrote this. You know, well, her ideas were there.
She got the co-writing credit.
She got the co-writing credit, and the other problem is no one is producing scripts. You know, if there's a claim that he wasn't the one who totally wrote this movie, I'm sure she could put a script out that says, here's what I produced as a script. You saw the movie. You can see what my influences are just based on that. No one's produced that first draft yet. Mm-hmm. So it's just an interesting side story.
But he's totally right. The director has the final authority on the script anyway.
Right.
They can rewrite the whole movie if they want to. They don't have to follow what the quote-unquote screenwriter did.
A lot of times that's true. I think it's a little bit different with Marvel because they do really control their properties and they really want...
I feel like this is a throwaway movie anyway.
Well, not like, really. Please make more throwaway movies.
I think what this movie was Marvel saying, you know what, we've got a bunch of third tier stuff. You know, we can hit it. We've hit it out of the park really hard with Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, Avengers. I mean, like the movies or not, they're making fat bank. They're making a ton of money. They're making a ton of money. People are going to see them left and right. And when they announced Guardians of the Galaxy, my first thought was, are you nuts? Are you crazy? Because this is a property nobody's heard of.
Yeah, I had to
do, I mean, even as a comic book fan, 20 years ago I read this, and apparently there was a resurgence in the title 5-10 years ago. But even that, it's in the comic book community, which is not a very big... I mean, they like to think they're bigger than they are.
Yeah.
But there's... I think the last figures I heard was there's something like in the range of 100,000 to 200,000 comic book readers, like active weekly readers, period.
1 to 2,000?
1 to 200,000.
Oh.
Sorry, if I said 1 to 2,000, no, 1 to 200,000.
A little more than that.
Yeah, 1 to 200,000, period. It used to be much bigger in like the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, when we didn't have the internet.
Right, when you could just go out there and get stuff.
Can you imagine? And also, there's more competition too from, you know, the graphic novels, collected volumes, and there's always the independents out there too.
Right, right. So,
and God knows how many web comics. So,
yeah, but most of those are trash anyway.
Well,
quite a few of them are.
Some are, but there's a lot of really good ones out there.
I don't believe that. I'm not speaking from a place of intelligence on that.
Web comics are a different beast.
Mm-hmm.
They're closer cousins to newspaper comics than comic books.
Don't bring Family Circus into this.
Calvin and Hobbes.
XKCD.
This conversation's going to a dark place.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Yeah, again, like, Tony, you might be right there. I mean, there's a limited... A few hundred thousand people are making these huge decisions on popular culture.
And realistically, you know... The fanboys can get their panties in a wad all they want over these movies, mm-hmm. but if you remove the number of ticket sales by the comic book, the comic book buying audience.
Yeah, they're still making tons of money.
It's a dent in all the tickets they're
this
selling.
This is why I say this movie was a throwaway movie. Because they know it was going to be successful. They also knew that no matter how poorly this movie did, it would not impact the bottom line of any of the Marvel movies going forward. So, hey, let's make this movie.
Let's see what happens.
See what happens. Right. And given the creative license, they did an awesome job with it.
They did a fantastic job with it.
They've already, what, signed for the sequel?
Oh, yeah. They greenlit it already.
They greenlit the sequel before this one was released. Yeah. Like a week or two before it actually hit theaters, they greenlit it.
Well, I mean, you watch the movie and you're like, oh, you know what? This is good. Yeah, this is good.
We just printed money.
Yeah.
A lot of it.
Yeah.
And we haven't even still hit the bigger world markets yet, and they're already up to $500 million.
Yeah. My one complaint with the movie is IMDb incorrectly labels one of the quotes as a mistake. Midway through the movie, it says that he says he got my text message, which would have happened after he left Earth. And I'm like, that's not what he said.
That's what he said. They got my dick message. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember him saying that too.
He very clearly said dick. He got my dick message.
Yeah, he got my dick message. John C. Reilly. What is happening?
Another thing that I loved about, not the movie itself, but the lead up to the movie, the marketing for this movie was fantastic.
Yeah, it really was.
They let you know exactly what you were in for watching the marketing. That first trailer they released where it's the two guys with them in the lineup and they're like, where they're naming off each of them. And Chris Pratt does this thing where he slowly does the middle finger. But then they cover it up.
Oh, I didn't know what this machine. I didn't know how this worked. That was so funny.
Oh, it's doing it again.
So funny.
But the trailer for that, they blurred it out, and they made it look like it was part of the movie. Because I mean, it wasn't just a blur out. It was they did computer animation over everything else. It looked like that. I expected to see that in the theater, and it was like, oh no, that's not what that is.
Yeah, that, and even like. So they like the beginning where he's like, "You might know me as Star Lord."
Who?
Oh, come on, man! Star Lord. just the way that he says it is perfectly encapsulates this character. I've never read anything about, like, never read any comics or anything else about before. First 30 seconds, I know exactly what's happening here.
The first 5 minutes of the movie perfectly tell you exactly what you're in for the whole rest of the movie. Between the little prologue with him and his mom, and he gets hauled off with zero explanation.
Yep.
The next thing you see is him on that planet singing.
I get it.
He's singing me to the rodent.
Grabbing that rodent lizard thing, singing, kicking them. It's like, Jesus, this is the movie we're getting.
Yeah.
And you just throw away all your preconceptions, relax, and just enjoy it. Because you know that this movie is just going to be this craziness.
That Star-Lord mask is cool, too.
It is.
That looks cool.
Again, we occasionally forget why we go to the movies, too. We go to be entertained.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not looking for deep... Well, we can sometimes go for deep reflections on the human condition and cinema and art and all that. But hell, I just like to go and just like have a good time. And this paid off big time. I mean, we had a fun time. We laughed all the way through it. We cried at the appropriate points, and we went home feeling good.
Did you cry? I feel like there's not a movie that should have been cried during.
Nah, I didn't cry. I wouldn't say cry during, but there was some touching moments. Not tear-worthy.
And we're still doing quotes out of it, you know, 2 weeks later.
Pelvic sorcery.
Mm-hmm.
Your pelvic sorcery.
Magic, yes.
Yeah, that was a good one. And
look, now we're all standing like assholes.
Rocket. And Dave Bautista is Drax. I did not know what to expect out of that guy, but man, that character was perfect. Just feeling that's going over your head. Nothing goes over my head.
My reflexes are too good. I would catch it.
Yeah.
Why would I run my finger along his throat? No, I mean, like, you know what this is, right? Yeah. It's the little conversations like that. Like, come on, you know what this is, right? Yeah, I know what that is.
And I loved the soundtrack.
The soundtrack was fantastic.
It was perfect, and it made perfect sense to why it mattered, and the places where they put it in.
The integration into the film was never awkward. It was never stilted. It always felt that. It felt like the music was deeply entwined in the movie, like the music of Cowboy Bebop is deeply entwined into Cowboy Bebop. Not that you've ever watched it, Tony.
No, I have not watched it.
It's fantastic in the movie. The music is deeply entwined. All the way entwined. Inseparable.
It's built in.
And the music is built into this movie, too.
Yeah.
The awesome mix.
The awesome mix.
I keep threatening to buy that disc. I just haven't yet. Because I'm going to.
I'm probably going to as well. Well, enough time has passed. I'm probably not going to.
It's a good mix of music to just put on in the background. Like, it's music that
everybody knows.
Almost everybody knows most of those songs. And it's funny because driving home from Gen Con, Stingray was in the car with me. And it's like, you have to kind of wonder what percentage of people are going to only know some of these songs from this movie. Because there's going to be an age where, like, below a certain age, most of these songs are only going to be recognizable because they heard that song first watching this movie.
Hmm. Well,
Holden being a perfect example, because like he only recognizes most of those songs as being
Music didn't for him didn't exist before 2000. So,
by the way, serious question, Tony, did he write me the story of the Crown of Charisma?
He did not. He's been doing homework.
What?
He's been doing homework and practicing his trumpet.
Fine. We need a brass section.
We had the Tijuana brass section there.
Since the bass section is faltering, sorry. Well, I guess Paul's picking up that. So
many bass.
He's going to do rock trumpet.
Yeah, we're going to be a three bassist band. I think for too much
with the horn section.
I'm down for that. That'll work.
The electric horn.
The brown note. We could hit the
brown note.
Yeah, so tell him to practice that one.
Away from me, though.
Yeah. Not at school.
Oh,
or maybe at school.
That'd be a good test.
Just not near your girlfriend.
You tell her to put her fingers in her ears with this one. Yeah, don't want to listen to this one.
It's a good first story, though. First time I met your grandpa. You made me shit myself.
Not intentionally, either.
Me and everybody else in school.
I saw Karen Gillan's name at the beginning of the movie and then promptly forgot she was in it. And then in the end, I was like, oh, God, she was that one chick.
Yeah.
That meant nothing to me. Mm-hmm. I felt nothing. Let's talk
about the one actor we've all been ignoring here. It's Zoe Saldana, Amina Gamora. She's pretty much filled this role out really nicely.
Really? I thought if she hadn't, like, she was...
The character was...
Boring.
Was
no.
A little on the boring side.
She's the weakest one of the characters.
No.
Ooh, easily.
No.
Easy.
Her character drove the plot, but there wasn't a whole lot there.
Yep.
It was a little bit confusing because she pretty much had to tell you, no, 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 I'm a bad guy, but I'm not a bad guy because I'm really just, I'm a secret agent. I'm double crossing him.
Yeah.
And we're going to take your word for it that you're going to come to us being the daughter of Thanos and tell us that you're double-crossing.
You have daddy issues now, yes. Yeah,
that you're double-crossing Ronan. What?
Yeah.
We're just buying this?
Yeah.
That was the, of the story, the plot.
I expected the double-cross.
I expected her to double-cross. It didn't happen.
I expected the double-cross. I feel like there was an opportunity there. Like, double-cross could have come... Like, the double cross could have been planned until they went to the collector, and she's like, oh, shit, this is what this thing is?
Right.
Yeah, not even I can go through with this, so I've got to submit to the pelvic sorcery.
Yeah, it could have been there. I think it would have made it just... I think it would have been just something you didn't need.
Yep.
But it would have added a little more depth to her character. But she didn't have a whole lot of depth. I mean,
Everything that is interesting happens to her off screen. Like, by the time you meet her, she has already decided, because she's done allegedly this other horrible stuff, that she doesn't want to do that anymore, and she's going to double-cross her dad. But like, you never see her come to this conclusion or see her conspiring. She just tells you.
Yeah.
And then people are like, okay. And yeah. then you move on.
Right. Like, oddly enough, the movie Flash Gordon did a better job of explaining how somebody would double-cross the people that they were working for the good guy in Ming's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right. she describes how she got beaten and, you know, and like, so I mean, she's
Don't
still,
turn this
still
into telling. Tasha Yar, Tony.
It's still telling. It was years before Tasha Yar. Decade before Tasha Yar, at least.
Mm-hmm. Tasha Yar is eternal. Anyway.
Ming the Merciless is eternal.
Hail Ming.
Ajax General.
I've never seen this movie.
Fire.
We've already expended all of my knowledge Flash. On it.
It's incredible.
The most I know about Flash Gordon is from Ted, where the guy who plays Flash Gordon comes to one of their parties and they get drunk with him, and then he like
Sam Jones,
he like
yep.
punches through a wall, and they do so coke
good.
With him.
It was so good.
It was really good.
It was.
Dude, you gotta get over here.
It would.
Sam Jones is here.
It would be even
what?
More meaningful to you if had you seen Flash Gordon and had some nostalgia for it. Because to see him there doing coke and punching through walls, it was just like, oh my god, that's really him. That's really Flash Gordon.
It was plenty meaningful.
We'll have to review that one sometime.
Nah, that's all right.
But, yeah, I thought they could have done that part a little better.
Yeah, like but every time
you know
she
what?
Was on the screen,
they
I was
already
like,
crammed
oh.
in a heck of a lot of stuff
yeah,
in this
the,
movie.
The thing
already.
Is they would have had to add a couple more minutes for that. It would have just slowed the pace down. They gave her enough character,
enough and to she, get by.
And you know what? She kicked a lot of ass too. So
and she's green.
Kirk would have fucked her.
That's right. For all those well, fanboys who have green
Kirk
girl
fucked Rocket.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird.
I'm rude. I loved the scene when Rocket and Groot were doing the Chewbacca and Han Solo thing, where he just kept saying "I am Groot," but Rocket is responding yeah. as if he's
well,
saying.
Who cares if 12% is better than 11%?
And all the others get into it too.
Yeah.
After a while, it seems like everybody knows what he's saying.
You kind of have to wonder if Rocket's just fucking with all of them, or
usually he
if
is.
He really does understand. Because it's like in the moment, it's like, oh, he understands them. Wait, mm-hmm. no, that's Rocket.
Yeah,
he's already asked for a guy's leg in his eye. So yeah. we're like, okay, we.
God damn it, that was so good. All right, well here's the
I
leg.
I just want to see you do it.
What did he look like hopping around? Was it hilarious?
I need that guy's eye.
No, really, I need it.
That was so good.
I feel like there was more depth in him just lining out that plan than there was in the entire Gamora character. No, I just wanted to see what that guy looked like up and around. Was it funny?
Yeah, I feel like every other main character had a lot more depth than Gamora. Even Groot, who you didn't get any story from, says four words the whole time. Five, I guess. Five words the whole time.
Only four.
I am Groot. We are Groot.
Ugh.
I
Conjugation,
am, we are.
Tony.
They're different words.
I expected him to pop out of the ground at the end, too.
Mm.
To join the wiener chain. He didn't do that, though.
Nope. I love that scene when he wrapped himself around them and was, like, getting parts of him shot off. That was good. That was really good.
Yeah, so they ask him when he's there, he says... You know you're going to die, aren't you? And he just, Groot. Matter of factually, yes. Well, yes, and no. I'm a tree, but...
Bradley Cooper did a really good voice for Rocket, too.
He did.
It was hard to tell it was Bradley Cooper.
There were a few times you could hear it come through, but
a lot of the time
not.
I couldn't. I felt like if I could hear it was Bradley Cooper, it would have destroyed some of it, but it was so...
It was
snarky.
The only time I heard Bradley Cooper come through was there was one time where he had a longer bit of dialogue and like parts of it you could hear Bradley Cooper in there, but for the most part, no. Mm. And anybody could have been in the voice of Groot. I wouldn't have recognized it as Vin Diesel either. Yeah, but you know, variance in inflection.
He said that he did over 500 takes, like 500 different recordings of I Am Groot.
Well, also in different languages.
Probably in
too.
The course of about 2 hours.
No, no, no. It took longer than that. Also, he was wearing 4-foot stilts at the time he was doing.
Yeah, because he did all the walking, like the.
Really?
Yeah, he wanted to get into get into the character.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
Like, I'll give him kudos. Very few, most actors would have gone there, probably did 4 or 5 lines, and just let the sound engineer loop them.
Yeah.
Now he put the effort in to make the different inflections and the different characters.
Like, a lot of people are pre-marketing material too, like him walking around on stilts talking to people.
Nice. A lot of people put a lot of good work into this, like the mid-credit sequence with Baby Groot, the dancing Groot.
Mm-hmm.
That was James Gunn. Like, people were asking, you know, who did that? And he's like, it was me. He said he sent everybody away. He got, like, the cameraman and the effects guy and him. And they were the only ones in the room, and he recorded it. And that dance was just him dancing terribly. And, yeah. So that was cool.
That is cool, yeah. Yeah, that's the thing about this movie. Like, you can tell that a lot of people loved what they produced in this movie.
There was a lot of passion in every part of it.
Like, you could tell Chris Pratt was having the time of his goddamn life.
Yeah. Like, well, even in the scene with the dancing Groot, Drax is there just cleaning his knife, and then he looks over, and like ever so slowly, there's this little smile on Drax's face. Yeah. When he turns back around, he's like, I saw you. I'm going to let it go. It's like, you're having a good time.
Yeah.
It was so good.
It was so good. I actually saw it twice. Like, in rapid succession, too. Like, I saw it on a Sunday, and then I took money to see it, like, on a Tuesday.
Yeah. I would totally see it again.
I did, Tony.
I know. Well, I'm sure we'll watch it, like, 15 times when we get the DVD.
James's dick.
Never saw it.
Well, I saw it enough for both of us, which was a lot.
Apparently.
Well, I think we've pretty much covered this movie to death. It's going to be our new Marvel Cinematic Universe favorite for a while.
I don't see it being unseated for me. Unless something really awesome happens in the next Avengers movie.
Could happen.
I feel like it won't. I kind of feel like it won't. I think it's going to be another good...
Avengers movie.
I think it's going to be another Avengers movie. What I think the things that I'm looking forward to most now... are more of this third tier stuff. Things like Ant-Man and Doctor Strange and stuff that there's not...
I'm anxious to see what they're going to do with Doctor Strange because that was such a 60s phenomenon.
They can go so many different ways with it. I just want to see how they're going to do it.
Yeah, me too.
Because
I mean,
it's one of those things that's such an unknown that to how they're going to do it. I'm just...
Well, Doctor Strange was a weird comic to start with.
I love Doctor Strange. I read Doctor Strange a lot when I was collecting, and I'm curious to see where they go with them. They've talked about there was one name I heard at first, but lately I've heard Daniel Radcliffe as Doctor Strange.
Hmm.
Harry Potter, Sorcerer Supreme.
Did you just imply I didn't know who Daniel Radcliffe was, Tony?
No, I was trying to see if you would react to me saying Daniel Radcliffe. No, I know you know who
negatively,
that is.
Tony.
I know you.
I'm
know
negatively reacting.
I think they would be better off going with a more or less a lesser known actor, though.
I think they're better off going with a more mature actor, someone who's a little older.
Are you telling me because Daniel Radcliffe is not mature?
No, because Doctor Strange.
Should be in his late 30s.
Because he was 30s. Because he was a surgeon, and you don't get to be a surgeon by the time you're 30.
An established world-class...
Are you forgetting the legend of Doogie Howser?
Yes, I am.
Are you kidding me?
They could bring NPR into it.
Mm-hmm.
NPR, that's not right. NPH.
Yeah, NPR's not...
That's not right. NPH.
Do you need pretentious radio? Because NPR's got your goddamn number.
Oh, pretentious radio as the Sorcerer Supreme. Everything would be a sleep spell.
I'm going to have to go meditate on this.
Well, that'd be another thing, because Doctor Strange took a few years to learn to become Sorcerer Supreme.
Right, yeah.
Bryan Cranston. Done.
I want to see him as a villain. I want to see him as a villain.
He's always a villain.
I want to see him as a villain in one of these two universes, Marvel or DC. I'm feeling DC is going to get trounced in this race.
He won again. Tatiana Maslany still has not been nominated for her work on Orphan Black, which is a goddamn travesty.
Yeah.
I don't know who won, but I bet she didn't do as good a job as Tatiana Maslany.
I know who won, and it's going to make you scream. Anna Gunn.
What?
Yeah.
For what?
Best actress in the best lead in a drama.
That's bullshit.
Yeah. I said that too, but then I thought back and it's like, well, the last four or five... She was
in more of it, but...
The last four or five episodes, she did a really good job in the last four or five episodes.
Yeah, but...
But...
One is not as good as Tatiana Maslany.
I haven't seen it, but from what I heard, I have to agree with that. And but two, she wasn't nominated, so...
I know, she's not... I don't know why that happens.
And Sherlock won some stuff too. I thought that was
did it
pleasantly surprising. Yeah, it won for won a writing, maybe a directing. No, directing was
season...
directing. It was the third season. Last Vow. The Last Vow won when it was no it was nominated for one. Yeah,
The Wedding was a good episode.
Yeah. It was the one where he got shot.
The one where he got shot? That was The Wedding. No, that was the episode after The Wedding. It was
the episode after The Wedding, yeah.
That was also a good episode.
That was really... The season was... All three episodes of the season were really good. All three
episodes of this.
It won something for... or was nominated for movie. I think it won for movie.
Well, it's like an hour and a half long.
Miniseries or movie, but they were calling it movie because each episode's an hour and a half long. Yeah.
The episode's very long.
I don't even know where they Silicon Valley got nominated.
Did it really?
For a writing credit for best comedy.
It was fantastic.
It got nominated for both of those. It didn't win, but it got nominated.
Should have.
Oh, yeah.
Dick conversation is so good.
The tip-to-tip, whatever that title is for that... That last episode with the Dick conversation, that was the one that was nominated. Yeah. It was nominated for writing.
Finally. The Academy is rewarding dick jokes of the highest caliber. Soon we will be nominated.
Complicated mathematical engineering dick jokes.
Soon we will be nominated.
Soon.
I actually did sort something middle out the other day. In some algorithm I wrote, and I was like... This is flawless.
Nice.
This is probably so unnecessary, but I'm doing it anyway.
That's awesome. All right. I got nothing else.
Then I made an ASCII penis in comments. Booyah! I paid a lot of money.
Make capital ASCII B penises. equal.
Oh, no,
equal
Tony.
Capital D.
We're talking big tildy, old 10-liner.
Oh, one of those big ones. I guess what I just got was closer to an emoji than a... And ASCII art.
No straws for heartburn.
Oh, really? Is that...
I haven't had bad heartburn since I stopped.
Interesting.
That doesn't mean anything, because right before I stopped, I had really bad heartburn. So I'm probably still on edge.
Okay.
But tonight will be the test. Jack in the Box tacos. Big soda at like 10 o'clock.
Jack in the Box tacos is probably
pushing it pretty hard,
gamble.
Well, life's a gamble, Tony.
That's staying in Tokyo with two lives.
Yeah, it is.
With two health.
Staying in Tokyo, two health, 18 victory points. Let's do this, boys.
All right. Next week, Awakenings. Donate to Sausage Fest.
Called Awakenings, please. When I was in high
school. Go to Archon. You'll have a great time. Come to Sausage Fest. Even better day.
Awake.
I don't know that one.
Yeah.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.